superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now. Bryce Harper!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I have anointing oils for a new elite quarterback in the NFL.
The Rich Eisen Show.
I'm putting him up there. I'm making him elite. I see you, Tua. yeah.
Earlier on the show, Nets studio analyst Frank Isola. Coming up, host of Peacock's Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio. Comedian and actor, Mo Ammer. Actor, Frank Grillo. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on this busy Wednesday in November of 2022. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, is going to join us shortly. If you missed Frank Isola in hour number one, don't worry. We got another Frank coming. We got Grillo in studio in hour number three. You at 844-204-RICH, number dial here on the Roku channel, channel 210, or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius Channel 218, XM 202, 992 for those listening digitally on the app. There's also the Odyssey stream. You can check us out on our podcast. Please hit us with the subscribe button. We greatly appreciate that. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial once again. We like promises made and promises kept. This gentleman was on last month. And I said, I'd love to have you come back during the World Series. Such a big Houston Astros fan. Certainly if they make it there. And he's like, I will do that. And so I said, come. He said, okay.
Yep.
Didn't expect these to be the circumstances.
Nope.
He is the star of Mo on Netflix. He is one of the stars of the number one movie on planet Earth, Black Adam. He's going to have tour dates that I'm going to tell you about. And he has shown up here looking like Jose Altuve on steroids.
It's like
a beard. Mo Ammer, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
How are you?
We're in the series. I feel fantastic.
Yes, you are.
I believe you doubted us when I was here last time. You were like,
I don't know.
Yankees. Yeah.
That's fiction.
No, I don't know. We should replay.
You didn't say it,
but your eyebrows did.
The good thing.
Your eyes did.
Like, I do have very expressive eyebrows. I've been told that before. You can ask the guys here in studio.
Yeah.
I've been saying all year long, my concern was if the Yankees make the playoffs and face the Astros again. Certainly when the Yankees dipped post All-Star game and they lost the lead that they had over the Astros in the league,
yeah.
I'm like, that's going to be the end of that. And sure enough, home field advantage didn't matter because we were getting punked no matter what. So congratulations on making the World Series.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I feel like I made it, but I didn't.
By the way,
you know, it was fun.
You're by the way, just so you're aware, you're tipping when you're going to actually start drinking your coffee.
Like,
I can see you're making a certain move with your arm that I know what you're about to do.
Yeah. It feels good. It just every time, you know, you mention something positive, I just want to take a little sip.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
apparently
I'll put it down.
I don't know if you saw the video. That's what apparently Lance McCullers was doing last night.
Oh yeah, I think so too.
We could tell.
I was watching it, I was like, damn it, I gotta go in the studio tomorrow. 7-0. I'm getting flashbacks of the Atlanta Braves last year in game 7. It didn't feel good.
I bet.
It's okay though. It's game 3.
That's
it's
it.
Fine.
That's all.
They gotta get used to the Philly crowds. You know what I mean? Those guys are monsters.
They are.
We know.
I know.
Everybody
that.
Knows.
I know.
They're hyped. We beat the Yankees. That's all that really matters right now.
You're happy about that, aren't
that's
you?
Really, that's really why I'm here. It's the only reason why. It's the only reason.
You know, I
at least we're not the Bills. You know what I mean? The Bills, 4 Super Bowls, you know, 0-4. We got the first one out. So whatever happens, happens. Still made four World Series. You know what I mean? Like,
did you see? Did you see Nick Castellanos of the Phillies after was it the final out of game one?
Oh, what did he do?
He lifted up his jersey to show that he wasn't wearing a wire.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why? Does he have a reputation of being a rat? What I don't understand. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just really confused. Yeah. I'm just very, very confused.
I got to tell you.
Nobody was wearing a wire. Okay? Enough of this wire business.
I have spoken to a couple of Astros who would swear on the hair of anybody they love that they were not. That's not why... he refused to take off his jersey. That they were not wearing a wire.
Yeah, exactly.
That's correct.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Thank you. Thank you for at least admitting this.
And I will also admit that it's an incredible team. That you know, I know Phillies fans are feeling good, and I would not discount. I would not discount this team.
I absolutely not. No.
You know,
they love this. They build off of this. They like. They love being doubted. I think they have. I think they have a really good shot. I think it's going to be. I want to say six, but I want to see an exciting game seven because I can make that game.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Selfish, a little selfish.
Yeah, let me do it.
I went to the first two games, and it was just...
I'm looking at your tour dates. The next three nights, you're going to be on stage in San Jose at the San Jose Improv, and everyone can go to moammer.com for tickets. How are you going to be...
Well, they're sold out, but you can catch me at other dates.
Okay. If
you
look at you, man.
I'm just saying.
Go pound San Jose.
I don't want
No, you got the New York Comedy Festival coming up on November 12th, the Sandman Comedy Club in Richmond, Virginia on November 16th. But you should go to moammer.com for dates and tickets.
Yeah.
How are you going to, because I can't imagine you're able to, you know, keep your eye on a television set while you're doing stand-up, right?
No, definitely we'll be in the green room. I could tell the guys to stretch, depending on what's going on. Just give me another 20 real
quick. All of a sudden, it's just like, why is Bregman stepping out of the batter's box so much? Must be Mo's trying to finish up his set in San Jose.
No, I can't wait. I really can't wait. I think it's shaping up to be a really great series. They had a great one yesterday. Used it all up. I think it's seven runs yesterday. Enjoy it.
Okay.
Congratulations. Now we're used to the weather. We're used to the fans. The fans and what they're screaming out.
I can't be any worse than Yankee Stadium.
I think it is, though, no?
You do think so?
You don't think so?
TJ, you're a Pennsylvania guy. Is it worse in Philadelphia than Yankee Stadium or Boston?
I would say that Philly and New York are probably have the similar bloodline, right? That would be kind of the same type of people who would be yelling the same type of stuff.
Tell me more specifically. What do you mean? Same guy. Hey, yo, you suck my...
I'm fluent in both languages. Yeah.
So. I am too, to be honest with you. I'm fluent in that. And I kind of appreciate it. To be honest, Herb Verlander appreciated it.
I saw a video of somebody screaming at McCullers, warming up in the bullpen, that Hoskins dated his girlfriend and in high school.
That's what,
screaming like, "What's in your hair? Like, what you know? What fake? You know, what cheating stuff is in your hair?" Like, they were really just laying it on him in the bullpen.
Whatever that did, whatever it worked. It really did wonders.
I do have to be honest with you. I do, as a Yankee fan, love watching the Astros get smoked and hammered.
Yeah, but I'm sure it feels good.
But I do love some of the players on the
team. Still doesn't change now.
Bregman, I know it doesn't. Bregman in particular, and I am rooting for Dusty Baker. You know,
I'm rooting for too.
You know, like there's something about Dusty and his life and his baseball life and his baseball journey and the fact that he took the Giants to, you know, the doorstep and then the Giants won after he left and.
That hurt. I know. Like,
and he has done a remarkable job with this team.
No, he has. He absolutely has, and I want him to do it. And he gets so criticized unfairly, I think. You know, what happened? Did they take out Verlander? I'm like, how do you take him out? Like, honestly, how can you, like, guess that he's going to get two more runs off of him?
Right.
You can't guess that. Like, I would have kept him in.
Of course.
Like, of course you keep
the
Verlander
Yankees
in.
The Yankees took Cole out of a game against you guys.
Exactly.
And it's just like, what do we, you know, this is the World Series. What are we waiting for?
Maybe McCullers, they think he's settled in at that point. He's going to be fine. You know, maybe you take him. It's tough. I mean, that position is really, really hard. But I definitely agree keeping Verlander in there. Nobody saw that coming. I mean, we're at home. I was at that game. phenomenal game. Tough, tough one to watch. They pulled off a great defensive play in right field, and he caught. If that ball drops, it's over.
So you got a game seven ticket? You got a game seven ticket?
Yeah,
right?
I'm kind of. I know people. You know?
No, I know. Tied in. Yeah. But so everything works. You can actually be there for that.
Well, I'm gonna. Yeah, I don't want to. Well, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to tell too much. You know what I mean? If I'm working, I might have to dip out and go see that game.
I'm sick.
So, I mean, do you want to use the Rich Eisen show to tell whoever works whatever call sheet you would be on that you're out? You want to see that?
No. I'll be there. I'll be at the game. The Cranes have been really nice, great to me. And
that's great.
Yeah, I'll go to the games all the time. They support me. I shot the show in Houston. Like,
of course you did.
I showed so much. You know, Houston Astros love, and so I grew up with. I used to skip school to go watch. The Astros get pummeled by the Braves in the first round every time.
Right.
So it was just wildly disappointing. So now that we have this in my adult life and doing so well in my life and being able to afford the opportunity to give my childhood friends that I grew up with, to bring their wives and everyone to the game is really special.
That's awesome. Yeah. Mo Ammer here on the Rich Eisen Show, referring to Mo, which is on Netflix. Again, the first ever show created by and starring a Palestinian and showing a Palestinian family on TV. That is an amazing achievement for you to be able to talk about. Writer, executive producer, co-creator, you're playing it, you're starring in it. And then Black Adam, man, you're in the number one movie on planet Earth right now.
I know, it's really weird. It's really odd.
You getting stopped in ways that you might not have even before?
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. People like take it because I look so different in Black Adam. I had long hair. I did that deliberately, and I wanted to make it like a specific character, like a cartoon comic book character.
Yeah.
And it worked, and it's really, really great, and people like really resonate with him and really love what I did with the character itself.
Now you got The Rock on speed dial now?
Yeah. Send voice messages.
FaceTime The Rock right now. Yeah. FaceTime right now.
You know, last time I tried to do that, his number changed. So I don't know. maybe we don't do that. Although this is a better hour.
He's in the middle of a super set right now anyway.
Because the kids dropped off at school.
He's working out.
Maybe. I mean, like it's daytime. I mean, last time Chappelle was trying to get me to FaceTime him. We're on stage at the Cellar and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. Maybe that's why. He shouldn't do that. I was like, texting him. I was like, yeah, you are. But he's up at all kinds of different times. He's always like, hey, I'm getting in at 4 a.m. Like, what? You're a monster. You know, who does that?
So does that mean Chappelle can't just FaceTime The Rock by himself? I mean, who's not in Chappelle's phone at this point in time is what I want to know.
I think The Rock is the only one, probably, yeah.
Damn.
I'm sure he can.
So walk me through what happened here. Wait a minute. It's 3 a.m. You just finished.
No, I was on stage at the Cellar. It was before I did the special Muhammad in Texas. Mm-hmm. So what I was doing is I was making my rounds at the Comedy Cellar, as comics do.
Yeah.
Going one room to the other. And I took the last spot so I can do an extended set, which is the last spot. I think it was a Saturday. Saturday night.
Yeah.
And so the last spot, you don't go on till like 2 something in the morning.
Really?
So I went on and I was hoping to do my hour, like just to play around and see what else I could find, you know, what other lines I could find in the set. Pretty much it's settled at that point. I'm leaving the next day to fly out to Houston to film it in a few days.
Yeah.
Chappelle happened to be like pulling up. He's going to Mutmoon's, which is like the best falafel and shawarma probably in America. Uh-huh. Like it's amazing. So he pulls up to my moons, which is right next door to the Cellar. And it's like 2 something in the morning. He's like, who's on stage? And, you know, I toured with Dave for like 12 years, 10 years. And he goes, and they go, Mo's on. He's like, Mo. And he just comes in and just walks on stage and he hugs me with a shawarma in his hands. Like, with a doggy bag. And he gives me a hug and the whole crowd obviously goes bananas.
Of course they did.
And then we ended up freestyling for like an hour and 10 minutes
with
together.
With him? On the stage?
Yeah, with Dave. Yeah, together. And Dave is always, whenever I'm with Dave, Dave's like, you left me for The Rock. Whenever I'm with The Rock, he's like, whatever, you leave me for Dave. I'm like,
you can't win.
Toy.
By the way, those are two greats to be ping-ponging back and forth, to be jealous of the other.
Yeah,
that's
all
great.
Love. It's all love. So we ended up, you know, freestyling for like, it's somewhere on tape, somewhere.
I know, which is probably something you can't say about Chappelle.
Right.
So I was about to say, it's amazing that you had your phone on you when Chappelle's on the stage.
Yeah,
he's taking phones from people because he wants everybody locked in on his comedy.
Also, we don't want anything to get out prematurely. Also, the audience doesn't really fully understand that this is like a work in progress.
It's a workshop.
It's a workshop. Yeah, when you get in there, it's like, you know, that's... To us, that's our Yale University. The Comedy Cellar is our school. So we go there constantly to work out. So when he walks in, and does it. Obviously, the crowd goes bananas, and we were just freestyling, and Dave does his thing, and I sat on the piano, and the only song I could play was Lean On Me, and I started playing it out of nowhere, and the whole crowd was singing it. It was just like a magical night. Like, literally one of the best nights.
So the only thing that went wrong on that night is the Rock changed his phone number.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Might have been that. I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm on stage at the Cellar. Can I just FaceTime you real quick? And I just immediately regretted sending that text. Immediately. And then I try to text him again, and it turns green. I was like, well, there that goes.
There it goes. It turns green.
It's not blue.
Not blue. It turns green.
You know he didn't change to Android. Like, there that goes. There that goes.
That's so funny, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. And here you are saying, let's FaceTime The Rock.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
trying to
ruin it?
It's a fun game to say, let's
Does that make
time.
Me the Chappelle in this equation?
Well, you never want to play.
I don't know. At Real Mo Ammer on Twitter, Mo Ammer on Instagram, Black Adam in theaters right now. And then for more dates and tickets, go to moammer.com. Come back after the parade. How does that sound?
That sounds amazing.
By the way, this is a total...
I'll FaceTime you from the parade.
There you go.
Oh, word.
By the way, this is just... This blows up all of the LA, I guess, stereotypes, yeah. Right? The whole, hey, why don't you come back?
Yeah.
You know, and then you're like, yeah, I'll come back. And then I never invite you, and you never come.
Yeah.
And not only are you here, you came on a day when it's raining in Los Angeles, which is just like you just want to hunker down and not leave anywhere. You actually drove?
I was really excited. I came back in town, and then I just hit me. I was like, oh, man, the Strohs are in the series. Let's hit up Rich and see if I can come on the show and say hi.
And I heard that. I'm like, absolutely. Because I said, let's do it. And you said, I'll do it. And
I know.
Normally that
you
means
doing
I'll never
LA
see
thing.
You.
I'm from Texas. I'm going to hold on to it.
I'm from New York.
Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Hold on. Hold on. That's like me saying you're from LA right now.
I'm sorry. I take that back. I apologize.
I appreciate you doing that.
I apologize. I didn't mean no disrespect. God forbid. If I stepped over the line and all of a sudden I call you some Californite. Whatnot, whatever they call themselves
can't
out here.
Can't
God forbid.
Can't
God forbid. No disrespect. Not the beloved Rich. I insulted him a little bit.
Now the drinks are on.
The drinks.
The house. By the way, I've now made that reference twice in the show. I'm going to have to do it in the third hour.
Why not?
Just to did balance everything out. I did.
That's awesome.
I did that in hour one.
You know, I met De Niro, and he's the only person I ever fanned out on.
What happened?
I completely fanned out. I looked to the right, looked left. I see De Niro. I screamed like a 3-year-old child, and I hugged him. I squeezed him so long.
Where was this?
This was in Atlanta, actually.
Do you have a photograph? You're digging for a phone.
Okay. I look right. I was doing a show with Chappelle. Mm-hmm. He was filming. De Niro was filming a movie in Atlanta. I had no idea. I had just performed. Dave just finished. I look over right, look left. I see De Niro fanned out like crazy, hugged him, squeezed him so long. I just immediately hugged him. He's my favorite. And I said, I hugged you maybe a little bit too long. And he goes, a little bit.
By the way, that's what you want out of that exchange. Exactly. Like you couldn't have scripted it anymore.
Yeah, it was the best. I get emotional thinking about it. It was the best thing ever.
Your eyes aren't glistening.
It was amazing.
I love it. Yeah. So in London, which is probably about 3 years ago, I was there for a London game at the NFL.
Uh-huh.
My wife and I go out with one of her best friends and husband, and we're at the Chiltern Firehouse in London. And then all of a sudden, it's an incredible spot, right?
Yeah.
So to my right is this long table. Nobody's sitting at it when we sit down. And it was the table reserved for the cast of The Irishman that had just had a premiere in London.
Oh, my God.
And starting to show up, De Niro, Pacino, Keitel, Martin Scorsese, and then wait for it, Bruce Springsteen was in town. He shows up to the table, and we even had a conversation on this show. Like, if you could stop and one of them, you could only go up to one of them. You got one shot to go up and interrupt and go up to which one would you choose?
Was Pesci there?
Pesci was not there. He was the only one from The Irishman who was not there. He was probably playing golf here in Southern California. Wow. Like, I'm not getting on a plane. What do you want me for?
I love that guy.
You know, so I went to the men's room.
This is crazy.
I went to the men's room, okay,
And I took my shot with Scorsese.
Nice. And?
And just went up to him. Hold on. Stop. Don't give away anything.
I didn't say anything.
I went up to him and I told him what he meant to me and what his movies meant to me. And thank you for everything. He couldn't have been nicer. He just nodded his head and he said, thank you. Uh-huh. And we shook hands and I went to the men's room, but made it show of it that he knew I shook his hand before I went to the men's room. Very important.
Of course.
So now it's time they're leaving. They're leaving. One by one, they leave. And it's time for Scorsese leaving. And I pulled this move, moved my chair out so he couldn't move, got up, took a selfie with him.
Amazing.
And there it is, right there on the screen. Not happy.
He's not
happy.
By the way,
there were about five people from security, from his personal security, and also the restaurant security that jumped out at me to say, don't do it. He said, it's okay. It's because I went up to him at the table, and I think we connected.
That's amazing. I'm sure you connected. You could tell from his eyes.
Get me out of here.
His eyes.
What are you saying?
Says everything.
He's like, I feel a connection.
Like, this is the moment.
A little bit.
This is the moment. I'm retiring right here. I'm leaving it all on the table now.
Has he done a movie since then? Oh, no.
He's done. Why would you? It's a mountaintop. It's over.
That's it. No. The mountaintop.
Well, the Chiltern has really strict rules about photos.
Damn straight, I know. Yeah. They jumped out of the woodwork. Amazing. Can't do it. Even the waiter's like, don't do it. And he's like, it's okay.
Yeah, you're damn right. It's okay. It's Rich Eisen.
Damn straight. Yeah. Don't they know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now they do.
Look at my wall of accolades. Get out of my face.
Mo Hammer. No,
I would have done the same thing.
Show.
That's a G move, honestly. I'm glad you did it.
I moved my chair out. It's brilliant. Couldn't go anywhere. Brilliant. Trapped him.
Where are you going to go?
What are you going to do?
You're not Barry Sanders. Huh? You're stuck. You're not going to spin out of this one, buddy.
You're 80 years old.
That's right.
You're not spinning out.
Yeah, what you resist shall persist, buddy. You just take it.
That's
embrace the situation.
Today, I took my shot.
When are you going to get that chance again?
No.
You
know? Yeah, I don't know.
That's a big move.
And I have the photograph.
I regret some moments, not saying stuff. You know, I wish I did this. I wish I did that. So that's great.
You hugged De Niro.
I hugged.
And you got the line you wanted, which is low.
Thank God he just saw me perform, or else it would have been really weird. You know? I freaked out. He was the only one I ever freaked out, because when I came to the States, the first book I read was Mario Puzo's Wise Guy. I don't know why. I was 10 years old. Nobody should have ever given me this book. But it was.
What an introduction.
It was like, from that point on, I've been fascinated with these kind of movies and these criminal minds and whatnot. I just find it so fascinating. And I was just, I couldn't believe they made a movie about it. And I watched it. And then from then on, it was like a De Niro wormhole.
Fantastic. Yeah. At Real Mo Hammer on Twitter, at Mo Hammer on Instagram, and go to mohammer.com to see this man on tour. Thanks for coming in, sir.
Man, thank you for having me.
Anytime.
Much
Let me
love.
Know.
See
Let me know.
Month,
we'll chat from the parade. We'll chat from the parade.
That's it.
Yeah, it goes down Broad Street.
That's it.
Oh,
wow.
Goes down Franklin, baby. Goes down Franklin in Houston, Texas. I'll let you know.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Here on the Rich Eisen Show. I know you said BOFA as I'm trying to talk about a serious sports story, and it's B, capital B, of capital A for Bank of America, and you're making a D's nuts joke. Good job, TJ. We're trying to win Emmys around here, man.
That's the thing that helps us win Emmys. Had I read it before, I would have not
laughed. I
would
just take one of those.
No.
Well,
I'll just take a Wanna.
We got nominated because of a Price is Right.
Backing TJ's play here, we've been nominated twice. Never had a D's Nuts segment on our reel.
I mean, there you go. D's Nuts all the time.
Joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show, Mercedes-Benz Vance phone line. We're very late for him, and I greatly appreciate his patience as we just said goodbye to Mo Ammer, a friend of the program and the creator of Pro Football Talk, and he's on PFT Live every day on Peacock and so much more. Here is Mike Florio. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing great, and I don't know whether it's a consolation or whether it's cause for concern, but when I saw BOFA, I thought the same thing.
Is that right?
We all swim the same
Mike
water.
Talk about a need for a rebranding. Although maybe they're going for the demographic. I don't know.
Or maybe that's where Nick Saban does his banking. Hey, I don't know. Who knows? What did you make of this piece of news today, Mike? What's going on with the Commanders?
Well, the report from Forbes was worded in a way that created a little bit of a safe harbor, the idea that they're exploring selling a majority or minority portion of the team. Now, I don't know who in the hell would want to buy a minority share of the Commanders right now. He had three limited partners who couldn't wait to get out, and ultimately he bought them out in order to get them away from him because they were arguably, allegedly, whatever, kind of creating problems for Dan Snyder, and some of these issues that have been floating around potentially trace back to the efforts of the three former limited partners to just get out from under Dan Snyder. I think this is an effort to posture this in order to get the best possible offer. Basically, if you make our number, we'll sell the team. And the number is going to be north of $5 billion. There's been plenty of speculation as to why. I think the best theory I've heard from someone in the know is that a new owner would basically be handed the old RFK Stadium site to develop a new state-of-the-art facility, and Dan Snyder, no way in hell, is he going to be able to get a stadium because he's not going to be able to get the cooperation from the public officials he needs, and he's apparently come to that realization. So now it's time to cash out. He paid $750 million in 1999. He gets $5 billion 23 years later. Not a bad return on his investment.
Not a bad ROI at all. So that's what it is. It's born out of a stadium deal that nobody in town will make with him. But would that be also something that's pressuring him from within the walls? Because this is a guy who's constantly said no way, no how. There was even a statement in response to Jim Irsay's latest public foray and conversation about it in advance of their two franchises playing each other in Indianapolis that finished up with they'll never sell.
Right, but he was never going to change the name of the team either. I mean, Dan Snyder saying never is not the best resource for predicting what his future actions will be. If anything, it's the sign that at some point he will do the thing he's refusing to do. The stadium is the most logical business explanation for it. It's possible that someone he trusts finally got through to him and said, here's how this is going to go. Is it really in your best interest, your family's best interest, your team's best interest to go through this? Do you really want your kids to ultimately have this team after this protracted fight where you go scorched earth with any and all form of litigation you can pursue? I don't know that he would want that. I don't know if there's anybody who could talk him out of it. And it could be that the family got together. You know, it could be the kids, because he's been motivated all along to give the team to his kids.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in my 20s, and I think that's the age of his kids, at some point, I mean, I'm on social media. I'm hearing this stuff. I'm seeing this stuff. At some point, I say, I'll just take the money. right? Let's just sell this team. How much money are we going to get if we sell the team? I'll take the money. I don't want my name and my face to be attached to this. The only thing better than being rich and famous is being rich. I'll stick with rich. Nobody knows who the kids are. I don't even know their names. And the kids may have decided, we'd just like to keep it that way.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Any potential buyers that we're already hearing about? You heard, obviously, the first name that everyone talks about is Jeff Bezos, who's now a partner of the NFL with Thursday Night Football. He also owns the Washington Post. He's also got enough money maybe in the ashtray of one of his cars or rocket ships to go ahead and buy this. I would imagine he'd get quick approval. What do you think?
Hey, I hadn't thought of this one. How about a straight-up trade? Elon Musk, Dan Snyder, Twitter for the Commanders. How about that?
Who brokers such a thing? Bofa? Bofa?
I'd be happy to do it. Bofa of them? A very small percentage. Josh Harris is a name to watch because we reported Josh Harris, co-owner of the 76ers, I believe, he was ready to pay $5 billion for the Broncos. And he would have paid $5 billion for the Broncos if he knew that $5 billion would have gotten the Broncos. But what he feared would have happened, and it would have happened, he goes to 5, the Walmart clan goes to 5-1. He goes to 5-2, the Walmart clan goes to 5-3. He goes to 5-4, the Walmart clan goes to 5-5. So he said, if I can't get it for 5, I'm out. I think he would pay 5 for the Commanders. And the question becomes, who else is at the table? This is part of the goal. Let's get as many as we can. Let's do it on our terms. I think it's harder to get full value for the team if you're forced to sell it. If you're forced to sell it, you have no option to say, I'm not going to sell it in order to drive the price even higher. I think the thing to do is try to set up 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different groups that are submitting significant offers, and you get $5 billion to $6 billion to who knows. You know, this is an investment for which the balance sheets, the cash flow, the normal valuation tools get thrown out the window. It's an auction. Who pays the most for the privilege of taking over this team? And the NFL issued a statement unprompted that, hey, by the way, if there's any sale, the finance committee has to approve it, and 24 or 32 owners have to approve it. Well, finance is the key. All that matters is how much money that you have. There isn't a test on how much you know about football, whether you'd be good for the team, for the league, for the game, for anyone. All that matters is, do you have the cash? And we're talking about people who clearly will have the cash.
Mike Florio here, host of PFT Live on Peacock, creator of Pro Football Talk, at Pro Football Talk, and the author of Playmakers, where all books are sold, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Most surprising aspect of the trade deadline campaign season was?
The Rams not doing anything, because it sure felt like they were trying to either bring back Brandon Cooks for a reunion. Now, the $18 million fully guaranteed salary he has for 2023 was an impediment that could not be overcome. The Cowboys were also in on that. And not getting Bradley Chubb. They were after him. The Dolphins ended up doing it. So the fact that they ultimately restrained themselves, and they reportedly tried, Albert Breer said, to send 2 first-round picks to the Panthers for Brian Burns. You know, at some point you have to admit you're not one player away, and they're not. And at some point you have to hold back some of your resources for the future. The team will continue to exist later this decade, and you can't completely mortgage your future in an effort, what I think is a foolish effort for now, to delude yourself into thinking you can go back and win the Super Bowl again. And look, nobody's giving up, and they have to say all the right things, but this is far different from last year, where they went all in for Von Miller and OBJ, and it worked. I think they have more needs than the trade deadline would have supplied. So I was surprised they didn't do anything, because I doubted that they were sufficiently self-aware of where they are right now. But, you know, just the sheer volume. We were hearing before the trade deadline, oh, there's already been a lot of trades. We may not see many, and we've been disappointed before. But to have 10 of them land on our laps yesterday, I was pleasantly surprised. And, you know, my other crusade here that I'm really trying to get people on board with me is the idea that they need to move this deadline back, especially with an extra week to the regular season. At a minimum, it needs to go back to week 9. I'd send it even later. Why arbitrarily limit the arm's length negotiations and transactions that two teams can enter into? I'd run all the way through the end of the regular season. I mean, if a team wants to give up value and another team wants to to sell an asset and get more draft picks, so be it. If you want parity in the NFL, let those transactions happen, because it's conducive to having parity next year. It weakens a good team and it helps a bad team.
Doesn't it also, I mean, as I've mentioned earlier this month or last month, that tanking in the NFL isn't just like sitting guys who are healthy on game day like it's the NBA. It's trading away your best players so there are fewer good players to win games and can't be overcome by very prideful men who are still around battling for jobs and want to win. Like, so wouldn't, if there was a trade deadline, say, mid-December still, you'd have a ton of teams who know that they're done just selling off and trying to lose games that way over the last month of the season. Wouldn't you have fewer competitive games under that?
Well, you potentially would, but the guys on the field are still going to compete. And look, it would give teams easier cover for tanking at that point, the teams that really know they're done. The problem is right now, it's too early to know that you're done. And maybe that's the way the NFL wants it. I don't know. Does the NFL want trades or does it not want trades? By having the deadline now, the message is we really don't want these things, and maybe it is to combat tanking. But here's the thing about tanking. It exists. It happens. And as long as you don't admit it and also fail to later say, I was only joking, the NFL isn't going to do anything about it, because the NFL doesn't want to admit to the world that there is a very clear temptation to not put your best players on the field, to not try to win games late in the season in order to enhance your draft stock. Now, some folks like Sean Payton would say no team should ever do that because it's not conducive to future winning if you don't always have a winning culture and try to win every single game and do everything you can to win every single game. It sends a horrible message. It still happens, and the temptation is still there. And whether it's the Dolphins, who clearly were doing it in 2019, the Browns were doing it with these incentives that were payable to coaches and front office executives based on salary cap money being carried over, draft picks being stockpiled, that's not a factor that leads to winning now. They created financial incentives to get guys to do things that would minimize the value of the current team, maximize the future value of the team, and the NFL said that's not tanking. It's only tanking if someone says, hey, we're tanking, and we're not joking when we say we're tanking. Otherwise, the NFL is just going to look the other way, because that temptation is always going to be part of the sport. It's not going anywhere until they do a true draft lottery that basically puts all non-playoff teams into the hopper with the same number of balls, not weighted based on how bad you are. That temptation is going to be there.
Mike Florio here on the Rich Eisen Show. Last one for you here is I've lost track over the last 8, 10 years, I guess, or even sooner than that, the number of storylines of why isn't Green Bay getting weapons for Aaron Rodgers? I mean, the number of times that we've had that conversation on drafts and now this time around with the trade deadline, I've lost track. If I had told Packers fans going into the trade deadline period that you're going to come away with no new weapons for Aaron Rodgers, they'd be like, yeah, that's par for the course. But if I had then told them that the Bears, despite selling off two of their best defensive players, would acquire the very young receiver that the Packers would want and apparently went for, and the Bears would get for a second round draft choice, now that would send off an alarm bell. What do you think is going on with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers' thought process today, sir?
Threshold question is, did the Packers really want Chase Claypool? Because if they did, they could have found a way to get Chase Claypool, just like last year with Odell Beckham Jr. Did they really want him? If they did, they could have found a way to get him. They know how to placate Aaron Rodgers by trying. Like, I think they're running a little bit of a grift on him where they're like, wow. Yeah, Aaron, we're really going to try to do this. Oh, sorry, it didn't work out. And he accepts it and moves on. That's part of the reality. I think it's this draft and develop mindset that goes back to Ron Wolf, who was the GM as of 92-ish, and it carried over to Ted Thompson, and now with Brian Gutekunst, we draft and develop, we draft and develop, we draft and develop. There's never a sense of urgency. There's never an effort to go all in. There's no F them picks mindset. And I think fundamentally, Rich, the main issue is there's no owner. There isn't that one person who can wake up yesterday morning and say, we're going to go do it. Or that person Brian Gutekunst can go to completely cover his own behind and say, hey, owner of the team, are you okay with this? And look him in the eye and get the idea, yes, the owner's okay with it. The owner's on board with it. The owner's excited about it. Without that owner, and I know it could go very badly. You could have a horrible owner that you couldn't wait, if you're a fan, for that guy to sell the team, a la Dan Snyder. But you also could have a very good owner who knows just when to light that fire, just when to embolden and empower the front office to go make those moves. Because look at the teams out there that feel like they're contenders and made moves. The Chiefs with Kadarius Toney, the Bills with Naheem Hines, the Ravens, what they've done to make a bad defense.
Niners.
The Vikings, for crying out loud.
Niners.
No urgency from the Packers.
Yeah, Niners. You know, Jed York.
Exactly. Changed everything to get Christian McCaffrey.
Right. Apparently, Debo went up to Jed York, said thank you, according to the broadcast this past week, you know, when hearing about McCaffrey. I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting way of phrasing it, Mike, a grift on Aaron Rodgers.
And I hate to say, well, I don't hate to say that. Why did I even say something I don't? I don't hate to say it. I think it's true. Because he was ready to retire, 2021. Remember the sports books all took down their futures bets for the Packers that weekend before training camp?
Yeah.
Everyone thought he was going to retire. He said he was 50-50 on the question of retire. And then he had that 23-minute airing of grievances as his introductory press conference. And he made it clear that he's not happy, he doesn't have a voice. Their attitude is, you just work here. So they bring back Randall Cobb, they placate him, and they listen to him, but do they really listen to him? He has a voice, but hey, oh, we listen to all opinions. Well, we ignore all opinions too. And I feel like that's what the Packers are doing to him. They're listening to him, but they're still going to do whatever they're going to do, even if he would be better off if they either, you know, if they didn't just put a real offer on the table last year for Davante Adams, it never gets to the point where he wants to be traded to the Raiders. They waited too long to put a real offer on the table. That's just another example. I don't know that they really want to make these moves. They want to make Aaron Rodgers think they tried. Deep down, I wonder how hard they're trying.
Mike Florio, thank you for the time. As always, appreciate you taking my call and popping on here. Say hi to everyone on Peacock.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Mike Florio. Check out PFT Live on Peacock, and you can check out his book, where all books are sold. And, of course, follow him at Pro Football Talk and see him on Sunday nights on NBC. This NFL season, every Westwood One NFL broadcast streams live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, Thanksgiving, and Christmas triple headers, the international series, and every postseason game. Always great food for thought from Mike. Oh, a Bill Belichick press conference moment. I just heard about it. I didn't know. I have no idea what it's about, but you know, my day's made. Oh, on a trade. Okay, by the way, the number of people who were baiting me on Twitter last night, what does Rich think about Michigan being out of the top four? Clemson's in the top four. Tennessee's number one. Michigan's the first one out looking in on the four in college football. I'll give you my 2 cents on that subject when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. That's all still to come with Frank Grillo in studio and my power rankings that I can't wait to deliver with Brio.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
NetSuite, folks, wants to make sure that you know your numbers in these crazy economic times. One thing is for certain these days, dangerous time to not know your numbers. Over 31,000 businesses, however, have the confidence and clarity they need because they rely on NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system, which gives you the visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Everything you need all in one place. So go for it. What are you waiting for? Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. A Bill Belichick press conference moment of the day that's coming up in hour number three. With my power rankings.
Mike and I excited.
No, I know. I'm just letting it marinate. I'm letting it sit
in the microwave okay. just for a little bit longer.
Marinate. Yeah. Nothing's
going to marinate.
Nothing wrong with it. Nope.
It's in there. It's coming out. It's got to do with him being asked why the Patriots didn't make a trade. Well, how close were they to making a trade in the deadline? So, I mean, I would stay tuned if I were you.
Uh-huh. A little bit.
So, look, I had a little bit of cheese placed on my Twitter timeline last night by people hoping I'd snatch it, take it. And those people
Is it Bree?
Were watching. No, they were watching. They were watching the worldwide leader last night.
Yeah.
And the college football playoff committee.
Oh.
Who are these people? To use the phrase of like, from Midnight Run? They're sitting around with their coffee breath and BO, just sitting around some room talking about what? Top of November, who would be in the college football playoffs if the season ended today? And if I were them, I would have put out those four and those top six the way I would have too. Absolutely. Tennessee number one. Are you kidding me? The way that they're playing?
They look great.
Yeah, they piss off Georgia fans too. Get people talking.
They got the biggest win of the year.
Understood. And they're playing each other this weekend and put them up number one. See if they can stay there, right? And if they're there, then they're there.
Why not?
Right? Let's definitely put the Ohio State up there number two overall. Pisses Michigan fans off, especially. Especially since we're the defending Big Ten champs. We haven't lost since losing to Michigan State last year in the Big Ten. That's our last Big Ten loss. We just vanquished them. We just beat them up before they beat us up, apparently. Four more Michigan State players suspended, by the way. Clemson sitting there at four. And all I'm seeing in the Twitter machine from all those in the know, college football, this is in response to Michigan's off-season schedule, non-conference schedule. Michigan's non-conference schedule.
Not great.
Substandard.
Hawaii and Connecticut.
Oh, dude, do not disrespect Colorado State by leaving them off that list. That's who we started against.
Sorry. 51-7, 56-10,
just because I saw that, I'm like, let me just check on Clemson's non-conference schedule. See how much better that is. Okay. Furman and Louisiana Tech. Don't sleep on him. Don't sleep on Furman. Are you disrespecting
Furman?
Hawaiian UConn by saying Furman's up there? That's who you want to show the rest of the country after, you know, a game against Georgia Tech to start the season that they won. Hold on a minute, 41-10.
I will say, I don't want to defend Clemson ever, but they've beaten three ranked teams. You and Ohio State's only beaten one.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out facts. I'm just pointing out facts.
I'm talking about what I saw is this is a shot across Jim Harbaugh's bow to say, hey, Jim, you better start booking some teams. Yeah. Out of your conference. Oh, Furman and Louisiana Tech. Got it.
I mean.
Okay. No. I get it. And so it all comes down to it, though. Just win your games from here on out.
Yeah, just win. Yeah.
If Michigan wins just from here on out, guess what they won't be? Fifth.
Oh, that's for sure.
Fifth. And just leave us there at five. That's fine. I like it. That's yummy rat poison for Jim. Go in there. Go in there, Jim.
Yeah, win the next four and you're in.
Oh, please.
Win
without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Is Appalachian State ranked?
Who?
No.
What are you talking about over there, Penn State? I can't hear you. Hear you over stuff you shouldn't be saying.
Hey, I can say
you
whatever.
Have no legs to stand
sure
on.
Sure I do.
Penn
I got
State.
Two of them.
Oh, it's great. No, great effort. Great effort against my school and Ohio State. It's great effort. Good job.
Hey, we played our hearts out.
Hey, man, I saw some fight in the coach going at one of the members of the student body who was criticizing him. I saw that.
Look, you just have an issue with the coach.
Who's on the playoff committee? Ward Manuel, your athletic.
Okay, good.
Will Shields, Hall of Famer.
I found them. This is all food for thought and getting people talking about it. Great. I mean, just win the games and it's all good. It's all good. It's not like Michigan wins out and beats Ohio State. It's just like, oh, you were fifth in that first poll that we came out with on November.
The first poll. You know, it's like whatever. They should just do this at the end. One poll.
No, this is getting started. You're in the month. You're in the month. This is it.
One poll.
Here we go.
Syracuse is 20. What's up?
Oof.
There you go. Notre Dame roughed him up. Now here go. Take on Clemson. Knock him off the fourth spot for me, will you, Mikey?
I'd love it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Them off. Billy Gardell responded to you, TJ.
What's happening with Billy Gardell? What's
okay,
happening
so, with Billy Gardell? So we, put out the video of the Halloween candy power rankings, right?
Yeah, that I did off the top of my head, by the way.
Right, yes. Right. And so Billy quote tweeted the video about an hour ago and said 100 grand bar because Mike had brought up.
You know how I love those grand. Too, man.
Mike had brought up 100 grand.
Really?
And so.
I mean, that's as delicious a caramel, nutty, chocolatey treat you can have in one fun-sized bite.
So off air to break, TJ goes, tell Billy he's too skinny to talk about candy
can't
now.
Yeah. Candy
you left us. Yeah. You left
he left,
us.
He left the chubby
boys. You're
too
skinny. Yeah. So I did the quote.
Oh, you quoted that to Billy?
Yeah, I responded. And Billy goes, I feel like Tom Hayden. Mike, why am I out?
Why am I out? Great. It's Tom Hagen, right?
Tom Hayden.
Tom Hagen.
Okay, I was like, wait a minute, I don't get it.
No,
I
had it wrong.
Yeah, he's why am I out? Tell me why am I out?
Billy had a typo.
Because that's the way Pop wanted it.
Why am I out?
No, you're not a wartime
candy. Tom, you're out.
Not a wartime
consigliere.
He's
not a wartime candy guy anymore.
Wartime candy.
When it comes down to the battle, he's tapped out.
Isn't
what he said, that the brain and the stomach are having a battle with each other all the time? Yes, you can still do it. No, I can't. I love it. That's one of our most popular videos of the fall on our YouTube page, by the way. I like it. All right, Frank Grillo, who I don't think eats candy ever.
No, I doubt it.
Shredded.
He'll be coming in studio hour number three. My power rankings, too, coming up.